Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this morning's service. We've had a few technical issues, so I'll be introducing things instead of Christine, whose connection's not working. We're trying something fairly different this morning, but with the events of this week, maybe things in our hearts that we wish to bring to God. So we're going to start with some prayer time. If there are particular issues at the moment that you want to raise, then please put them in the chat for others to see. I think one of the key ones will be praying for the situation in Afghanistan, but there will be others, I'm sure. So please feel free to put those into the chat. We'll then have a short period of silent prayer, and then we'll carry on with the rest of the service. What we're going to do for the rest of the service, just so you're aware, is we've got a talk from Sally, which she recorded. We'll do that. And then afterwards, we're going to listen to the United Reformed Church service for today, which we think it would be good to make use of that facility. So let us begin our worship together in prayer, thinking particularly of Afghanistan, but also any other issues that are on your hearts. It will be a period of silence, and then I'll bring it together and close it with a short prayer myself. But let us pray. Lord God, we know you hear our prayers, whether we say the words out loud or in our minds to you. So hear the prayers that have been offered now. Amen. So the notices for this week. Following this service, there's an 11:30 service and a 5 p.m. service in the church, if you want to join either of those. Just a reminder, in case you're not aware, on a Monday, a few people from the church offer a community meal. This is food made available either for takeaway or I think they now do it in the foyer as well, just for those who want to eat and perhaps can't. Or to or want to eat with someone else. The daily prayers continue on Zoom. So any day, Monday to Friday, there's a prayer session at 10 o'clock in the morning, just half an hour. The details are on the website if you want the links. The 2nd of October is coming soon. So that's the big day in, day out for KURC. So hope that's in your diary. And you're looking forward to taking part and enjoying that day together. The chance for us to get back together and say hi again. If you haven't already done so and have got changes or we want to confirm your details for the church manual, please get in touch with Steve and Christine Wise. From September, these 10 o'clock services will be back in the building. They will also be live streamed, so if you prefer to still stay at home, that's fine. You can see the live streamed version. But we're starting to move back in the building from the beginning of September. News of people. There will be a celebration of the life of Rosemary Moore in the church on Thursday afternoon, the 16th of September. We're just waiting for the final details, but please put that in your diary. We continue to remember Katie Frost and Leslie Carnegie. We also remember Leslie and the family who are away, and then Leslie's doing some time of retreat and reflection on her own. Coffee bar is open as usual in the mornings, Monday to Saturday. Catherine is looking for a steward for the for this Thursday, the 19th of August, in the afternoon. So if anybody can help out with an hour or two that Thursday afternoon, that would be much appreciated. Please get in touch with Catherine. And finally, just to remind you that we continue to read Isaiah, so from chapters 40 onwards, and you've probably seen the notices coming out about that. So just remember to include that in your quiet time, perhaps. So I think that's everything. Okay, so now what we're going to do is hear from Sally. With Sam, if you could share.
Good morning, everybody. Now, I know it might look like I'm in the Mayo Hall, but actually I'm not. I'm still on my holidays in Surbiton. And hopefully I'm having a good time. And yes, I'm still in this blouse, the same one that I was wearing last week. I haven't really been wearing it for that long, don't worry. I hope that you're going to enjoy worshipping together today. And for the talk this morning, I've got some scenarios that I want to put to you. And so the person who's doing the projecting is going to need to press pause to give you a little bit of time to think through each scenario. So here we go. Each scenario is giving you a task, asking you to do something. So here's the first scenario. You have been chosen to carry the Olympic torch. What would you say?
So you can put your ideas in the chat or just have a think. I think it would be a great honor. Okay, no ideas coming. So Sam, would you like to proceed to the next bit?
I think what I would say is, as long as I don't actually have to do any sport, I'd be quite happy with that. I'm quite happy to carry the torch as long as I don't actually have to compete in the Olympics because I'm rubbish at sport. But it would be quite fun, I think. Okay, scenario number two. You have been invited to give a speech to the whole school. Now, if you don't go to school, let's just say you've been invited to give a speech to the whole church or to the whole of your workplace. You get the idea. So what would you say and how would you feel about being invited to do that?
So, any thoughts? I just noticed I missed one earlier on the Olympic question from Bron, who said, why me? Okay, they're coming in. Thank you. That's great. Scared. Probably if I had enough time to prepare. Overwhelming. I'm honored. Excited, proud. Thank you. Okay, Sam, next. What an opportunity.
And lastly, you have been asked to represent this church. Polite answers only, please. At a dinner with the Prime Minister.
Well, we're excited. Surprised, yeah. Yes, definitely the lot I want to say to him. Yeah, could be a good opportunity. No idea. Yes, so much to say to him. I think that's a repeated theme. Yeah, best chance to get him there. Okay, thank you, Sam. We've just finished that.
I wonder what you said in those situations. I'd be quite happy giving a speech to the whole church because that's my job. I'm quite used to doing that. And I'd probably be quite confident about doing it in other places as well. I guess if you've not done that before, then you might be a bit more cautious. And I think actually, even though the Prime Minister is Boris Johnson, I'd quite enjoy meeting the Prime Minister and asking him questions and giving him my opinions on certain things and certain situations. I think it would be interesting, but you may have very different views. Now, I wonder, linking this to today's service, how you might feel if you were invited, like Mary, to bear, to carry, and to give birth to the Son of God. When you were 14 years old, unmarried, what would you say if God invited you to do something as massive, as awesome as that? And how would you feel? Today, you're going to be hearing a little bit more about Mary in the service and exploring this amazingly obedient and surprisingly feisty, strong woman. I shall be back next week, live, in person, and wearing a different blouse. So that's something to look forward to. Enjoy your time together. God bless. See you soon.
Thank you, Sally. We look forward to seeing what the shirt she's going to wear next week. So we're now going to move to join the URC service. The Reverend Andy Braunston has been doing sterling work throughout the pandemic, coordinating online resources, daily devotions, and the Sunday service. And you can access those through the URC church website. And we felt this was a resource that we should make use of. The service flows without any introduction or comment. And so once it's started, you won't hear any more from me. Once it's finished, please stay if you can, and we'll open up some breakout rooms, which will be a chance just to chat as normal, but also to give some feedback on how you think those services work together. So it's a normal service, as you'd expect, with hymns and so on for you to sing along to. So enjoy the service, and we'll come back together at the end just to finish. Thank you, Sam.
My name is Andy Braunston, and I work with four congregations in and around Glasgow in Scotland's Central Belt. I also coordinate the daily devotions from the United Reformed Church. Today, much of the Christian Church thinks about Mary, the mother of Jesus, and celebrates either the end of her life in Orthodox churches or in Catholic churches, her assumption into heaven. Most Protestants only pay attention to Mary at Christmas, where of course she plays a central place in the narrative. And today we're going to think a little more about her and her part in Jesus' life. So let's start our service.
Come before the Lord with joyful songs, because God is good and generous, because we lack nothing.
Let us enter God's gates with thanksgiving and God's courts with praise.
Serve the Lord with gladness because of God's greatness and justice, because God puts an end to war and to all forms of violence.
Let us enter God's gates with thanksgiving and God's courts with praise.
Come before the Lord with joy because God is a faithful promise keeper. God's word is eternal.
Let us enter God's gates with thanksgiving and God's courts with praise.
Know that the Lord is God, and we are God's own people, a community, the family of God.
Let us enter God's gates with thanksgiving and God's courts with praise.
It is God who has made us to the praise of the holy name. And therefore today, in the same spirit, we have a festival to celebrate God's peace.
Let us enter God's gates with thanksgiving and God's courts with praise.
Thank you. God, from all eternity, you chose your people to be a light to the nations, to proclaim your justice, to show humanity a better way. From them you chose Mary to bear, nurture, and raise Jesus, to protect him when he was in danger, to teach him to pray, to tend him as he grew, and to show a mother's tender love. O God, from all eternity, you chose us to be a light to others, to embody your justice, to show love and care to all creation. You call us to care and nurture our world, our children, and those who are in need of love and care. Help us to show a motherly, tender love. And yet, O God, often we ignore you. Often we love evil, not justice. Often we turn away from the good towards the convenient and fail to protect those in danger. Forgive us, O God. Remind us of your better way. And give us time to change. Amen.
The Lord is merciful and full of compassion. In Jesus Christ, he came to us to show us the way and to call us to turn away from sin. Know that we are forgiven, so have the courage to forgive yourselves. Amen.
I suspect most of us don't think much about Mary. Our churches don't have statues of her, or if they do, they're part of the nativity set. We don't sing many hymns about her, apart from at Christmas or maybe at Easter. We know she's central to the story, but other than in the Christmas narratives or in St John's Passion narrative, often read on Good Friday, we really don't think much about her. Catholic and Orthodox Christians, and many Anglicans, pay more attention to Mary in ways that sometimes make us Reformed types quite nervous. Pope John XXIII famously said that the Madonna is not happy when put above her son, in an attempt to moderate some Catholic excesses. But perhaps we go too far the other way and ignore her part in the story. After all, her obedience led to the Incarnation. It was with her and Joseph that Jesus sought asylum in Egypt. It was at her knee that he learnt his faith and how to pray. Her song, labelled by the Church as the Magnificat, is radical and clearly influenced Jesus' own politics. In the Gospel, she was snubbed by Jesus, yet stood by him as he died on the cross, when he, concerned for her, asked his beloved disciple to care for her. In Acts, she is mentioned as part of the group of apostles who had seen Jesus ascend to heaven, and there's an implication she was with the apostles at Pentecost. Most people think the woman in Revelation, clothed with the sun and standing on the moon,
Sorry, it looks like we've lost Sam's connection. Just hang on a minute, we'll see if we can get it back. One of the drawbacks of linking to an external service is once you've lost it, you difficult to get back to where you were.
At the heart of the narrative.
Open our hearts and minds, O God, that as we hear the reading and sermon, we may, within them, discern your word for us, that we may listen, understand, and change. Amen.
The reading is from St. Luke's Gospel, the first chapter, reading verses 39 to 56. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and exclaimed with a loud voice, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has looked with favour on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promises he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her for about 3 months and then returned to her home.
Sing of a God in the ripening wheat, flowers in her hand, the sun in her hand. All the world will run to her feet, for the child that mother will bear. Sing of a girl that the angels surround, dust in her hand and snow in her hand. Kings and their crowns will fall to the ground before the child that mother will bear. Sing of a girl on the hillside alone, blood on her hands and grey in her heart. Sing of a body broken and torn, oh, the child that in his hand, the wind in her hand. Joy will rise as golden as wheat with a child that mother will bear. Sing of a girl in a circle of love, fire on her head, a light in her heart. Sing of the heart the spirit will move, to love the child that mother.
Joy in her eyes and golden.
Religious art has always been a feature of Christianity. For much of our history, we've not been troubled too much by the commandment about graven images. In the Eastern Church, this is interpreted as not making statues, and so instead, icons abound. Even in Reformed churches, you might have art, or at Christmas, some statues come out for the nativity scene. The wonderful thing about art is that a variety of images of the person or scene can be created, which can enrich our understandings of a story or person. We all remember nativity plays after all. Yet at the same time, art can limit those understandings. Art which tries to depict Mary, the mother of Jesus, often follows a familiar line. With downcast eyes, Mary is made to look meek. Her hands are often enfolded in the safety of prayer. Milky white skin, with a few black Madonna exceptions, make Mary look like she was more likely to come from Kent than Palestine. Even the way Mary is referred to is often problematic. The titles The Virgin Mary or The Blessed Virgin Mary focus only on one part of the story. It's never the Widow Mary, Valiant Mary, Brave Mary, and never ever Mary, Mother of the Revolution. The Church has, through art and naming, made Mary safe. In part, it's done this to try and point to good doctrine. In the earliest church, the first believers had to reconcile the fact that, as good Jews, they believed God is one, and there is only one God. Unlike Greek and Roman society, Jews were monotheistic. They did not take part in the imperial cult, with the myriad number of different gods and goddesses. Alone in the Roman-controlled ancient world, the Jews were allowed to practice their faith without any compromise with Roman ideas. Yet the first Christians also believed that Jesus was Lord. Jesus was God made flesh. This put them outside the protection afforded to Jews, and of course outside the Jewish faith. As the years passed, the way to assert this specialness of Jesus was bound up in Mary conceiving Jesus through divine intervention. Mary's virginity came to be bound up with Jesus' divinity. And so the emphasis turned to the specialness of Mary in order to support Jesus' own uniqueness. Of course, focusing on just one aspect of Mary's story made her memory easier to control. Today's reading from the first chapter of St. Luke gives us an insight into how Mary was seen by the earliest Christians. Her song echoes that of Hannah, the mother of Samuel in the Old Testament, a song Mary would have been familiar with, and is deeply radical. Having said yes to God, Mary had endangered herself. Women who fell pregnant outside marriage could have been stoned to death. She'd been betrothed to Joseph, so any pregnancy that he didn't own would be seen as adultery. By saying yes to God, she risked not only Joseph's wrath, but shame and mortal danger. Even if he had divorced her quietly, she'd have had to live with the shame. And who knows if her parents would have thrown her out onto the streets. Saying yes to God could have cost Mary everything. And in today's reading, we see her mettle. She sees her lowliness, a humble girl in Palestine chosen by the Almighty to bear the long-promised Messiah, yet knows that all generations will call her blessed. Then she reflects on what she knows of God, the God who shows forth both the strength and mercy, the one who scatters the proud, the one who brings down the powerful from their thrones and raises up the lowly. Remember, Mary saw herself as lowly, so she saw herself as being lifted by God over the powerful. She knows the God who fills the hungry with good things, yet sends the rich away empty. This is the God that Mary praised, the God who had made good on the ancient promises made to her forebears. These are revolutionary words hidden in plain sight in the Bible. Of course, the church has helped hide them by having them sung every evening in monastic houses and in parish churches. Singing them can obscure their meaning if the tunes aren't very gripping. Reciting the words can lose their power if the translation is archaic. Familiarity can turn words into simple repetition. It suits the powerful to hide these revolutionary words in plain sight. After all, these words weren't proclaimed in their interests. These words are a rallying cry to the poor, the dispossessed, the lowly, those whom the world ignores. This passage is the longest speech recorded of Mary and gives an insight into how she might have taught Jesus. No wonder he was so welcoming of the outcast. No wonder he noticed and spent time with women, seeing their dignity and worth. No wonder he was moved with pity by the woman the men wanted to kill for adultery. With a mother like this, we can see the ideas that Mary brought out from Scripture as she taught Jesus. Later in the Gospels, we have a glimpse of worried Mary when Jesus had been missed with their group of pilgrims returning home, and they found him then in the temple. We have a vision of the very human mother who was probably, if only momentarily, furious with Jesus. Later again, we have Jesus being very abrupt when Mary and Jesus' siblings try to see him when he's busy teaching. We see Mary again at the end of Jesus' life when she stands at the cross, an image again depicted in art as she watches him slowly die, helpless, eaten with grief. We're not sure if the other Mary mentioned by Matthew as being a witness of the resurrection is Jesus' mother. Yet Luke mentions Mary as being present at the Ascension and implies she was present at Pentecost. So what can we do with these biblical stories of Mary? First, we need to see Mary as she really was, feisty, able to conquer her fears, unafraid to say yes to God. We could use her example to inform our own discipleship. Are we feisty? Are we able to say yes to God, regardless of the cost, as Mary was? Second, we need to remove the patriarchal crown which has made her safe and reduced her to merely being a womb which bore Jesus. In doing so, we challenge the way the church has, all too often, reduced all women to a biological function. If Mary is deemed to be meek and obedient, then other women were frequently told to follow her example. Instead, we should be encouraging our younger women, and older ones too, to challenge the status quo, to remember how God turns the tables and to proclaim a different world, where those deemed lowly are lifted up. Third, we might use her example to see how love remains constant despite tough times. I wonder how Mary felt when Jesus cut her and his siblings when they came to see him. I wonder what strength Mary had as she stood at the cross watching him die. How do we call forth such love when we are in our darkest hours? How do we stand by those who journey through hell when there is nothing else we can do? In this, Mary's example is one for us to follow. And finally, how do we live those revolutionary words of Mary? Not just sing them to either dull or lively tunes, but to truly live them. How do we live as if the hungry are filled with good things whilst the rich are sent empty away? How do we live as if the powerful are removed from their thrones while the poor and lowly are lifted up? Of course, we support the food banks. Of course, we rejoice when tyrants and despots fall. But I wonder how uncomfortable we get when the church seeks the fall of despots, when the church speaks out against hunger and oppression, when the church demands we act. Perhaps there are reasons, after all, why Mary has been kept safe for so long. Will you pray with me? Holy One, you chose Mary to be your bearer. You knew her strength, her anger, and her determination. Yet over the years we've ignored her example, her words and her grit. Help us to live as if her words are true. Help us to feed the poor. Remind us the rich will be sent empty away. Help us to drive tyrants from their thrones and to use our privilege to bring about the change which your mother sung about. For the world is about to change. Amen.
My soul cries out with a joyful shout that the God of my heart is great, and my spirit sings of the wondrous things that you bring to the ones who wait. You fixed your sight in a servant's plight, and my weakness you did not spurn. So from east to west shall my name be blessed, and the world be about to turn. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, that the fires of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near, and the world is about to turn. Though I am small, my God, my all, you have worked great things in me, and your mercy will last from the depths of the past to the end of the age to be. Show your might, put the strong to flight, for the world is about to turn. My heart shall sing of the day you'll bring, let the fires of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near, and the world is about to turn.
The halls of power to the fortress tower, not a stone will be left on stone. Let the king beware, for your justice tears every tyrant from his throne. The hungry poor shall need no more for the food they can never earn.
Oh, it looks like we've had another hitch.
Bring up the fire of justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near and the world is about to turn. Though the nations rage from age to age, we remember who holds us fast. God's mercy must deliver us from the conqueror's rushing grasp. This saving word that our forebears heard is the promise which holds us bound. Till the spear and rod can be crushed by God, who is turning the world around. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, let the fires of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near and the world is about to turn. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, let the fires of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near and the world is about to turn.
In the one and only God, eternal Trinity, from whom, through whom, and for whom all created things exist. God alone we worship, in God we put our trust. We worship God, source and sustainer of creation, whom Jesus called Father, whose sons and daughters we are. We worship God revealed in Jesus Christ, the eternal Word of God made flesh, who lived our human life, died for sinners on the cross, who was raised from the dead, and proclaimed by the apostles, Son of God, who lives eternally as Saviour and Sovereign, coming in judgment and mercy to bring us to eternal life. We worship God, ever present in the Holy Spirit, who brings this gospel to fruition, assures us of forgiveness, strengthens us to do God's will, and makes us sisters and brothers of Jesus, sons and daughters of God. We believe in the one holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church, united in heaven and on earth. On earth, the body of Christ, empowered by the Spirit, to glorify God and to serve humanity. In heaven, eternally one with the power, the wisdom, and the love of God in Trinity. We believe that in the fullness of time, God will renew and gather in one all things in heaven and on earth through Christ, and be perfectly honored and adored. We rejoice in God, who has given us being, who shares our humanity to bring us to glory, our source of prayer and power of praise, to whom be glory, praise, and adoration, now and evermore. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, you created humanity in your own image. Yet often we despise that which you've made. Help us to cherish your creation, the planet with its teeming variety, the life which sustains us, the diversity which inspires us. Help us also to love ourselves as being made in your image, to see our bodies as your temple, and to value humanity in all its diversity. Forgive us when we've colluded with sexism, when we've assumed roles based on gender which cause harm to ourselves and to others. O God, you chose a woman to be an essential part of your saving plan, yet all too often your people have despised women. We've colluded at a lack of education and opportunity for women, at lower pay and respect for their work. We've ignored violence and abuse against them and blamed women when they are themselves attacked and brutalised. Help us to work for a world where women are valued and honoured, where poisonous patriarchy is rejected, and where men learn a different way to be male. O God, you taught Mary to sing for the poor, yet all too often we ignore the poor to our own peril. We step around them in the street. We ignore those at risk of being made homeless. We choose to see those on benefits as feckless. We ignore those who flee here for safety and collude with oppressive policies which keep asylum seekers poor and separate from the mainstream. Help us to follow your mother's example, that we may help raise up the poor and bring down the powerful who defy your will. Your mother foretold a changing world order, yet we cling to the way things are, preferring death to life. Help us, O God, to see how we need to change our world, that we may follow paths of life and not death, as we pray for the kingdom to come.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
We give in so many different ways, of our time, of our love, with our skills, with our prayers, and also with our money. Let's give thanks for all the good things that God has given us, and remind ourselves to keep up with our financial giving to the charities we support and to the church. O God, from whom all good things come, we thank you for all that is good in our lives, for the technology that lets us keep up with loved ones far and wide, and allows us to join now in worship. Bless all that we do, bless what we give, that you will continue to be glorified in our lives and in the church. Amen.
The one who called Mary to risk all, who led her to sing for the poor and proclaim a changing world, who stood with Jesus in his pain and enabled her to be filled with joy and fire, enable you to take risks, lead you to sing for the dispossessed, help you change the world and stand by those in pain. May that one fill you with joy and fire, and the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, be with you and all whom you love, now and always. Amen.
Thank you, everybody, for staying listening. I hope that was good worship for you. Please stay, if you can, for the breakout rooms, which I'll open up in a few moments. If you can't stay, well, in any case, to all of you, I wish you a God-blessed week. And look forward to seeing you again next Sunday.